Over the last number of years, the Lord has been unpacking to us things that are on His heart that He wants to download out of the heavens. You know, for maybe the last 100 years or so, we've seen a rather conservative church for the most part, especially in Western culture. And yet in the Bible, we see that it's not conservative at all, that there's so many God encounters and supernatural occurrences and evidence of the power of God being shown on every page of the Scripture. And as a result of this being introduced afresh in this hour, it's produced in many an uneasiness. Some are confused, some are upset, some are happy and elated, and there's this gamut of emotional responses for what God is doing in this hour. Some are saying it's truth, and others are saying it's error. So what do we do at a time like this? Well, I want to turn you to John chapter 16. And in verse 12, Jesus says this to His disciples. He's getting ready. He's preparing them because He's going to be going. And He says, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. There were things that Jesus wanted to say to them, but He couldn't because they just weren't ready at that time. But He says this, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will disclose to you what is to come. And so we've been given the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of truth. He's not the spirit of error. He's not the spirit of deception. And I believe that if we trust the Spirit of God and draw close to Him, then we never need to fear deception. We never need to fear error. But in saying that, we also need to understand that we need each other in the body. We need to hear each other's hearts. We need to research the Scriptures and see other people's perspectives on how they see the Scriptures. And we need to do it all in love. In fact, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, it says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. I'm going to share with a lot of vulnerability right now, as over the last 5 years or so, as we've been breaking open to the body a revelation of the glory and of the supernatural, and as the Spirit of God's been visiting us and opening the Scriptures and revealing truth to us, and as we've been sharing that and activating the body into encounters with God, and it's been our privilege to do so, much of it has been misunderstood. Many people didn't understand what we were teaching or how we were teaching it. They didn't like some of the terminology that we were using. And I can understand things like that. And you know, especially when things are new, it takes a little while to get used to it, doesn't it? A lot of times people don't like change, or they'll judge things that they don't understand. I've done that myself, and probably you have done it too. But we've experienced as a ministry a lot of pain through the different interactions. Sometimes people that have never met us, never asked to know our heart, never asked us even what we believe, but assume different things, would make judgments against us, write emails to people, send out official letters and decrees against us, go on the internet against us. And it was hurtful, mainly because it's like the body is supposed to be loving each other and caring for each other. I know that if I had a really good friend who I thought was going into error, I wouldn't want to point my finger at them and say, you're evil, or what you're doing is evil. I just want to love them and pray for them and try to point out to them maybe the things that might be off and why, and listen to their heart and listen to what they have to unpack to me. And I think that we need to do more of that in the body of Christ. We need to hear each other's hearts a lot more than we do. And so over this next 3 episodes, and I encourage you to watch all 3, and if you can't, get the DVD that has all 3 of the programs on it, and we'll be advertising that later. But it's so important because we want to give a historical perspective on what God is doing in this hour concerning the mystics. And what is a mystic anyways? What does it mean? What is it to have a God encounter? What is it to have experience with God on a regular basis? What is this spiritual revolution all about? We're going to discuss some historical perspectives, some biblical perspectives, and also some very controversial things that are disturbing some people. And we're going to look at those carefully in one of the episodes. And so we're going to take a break right now, and I'm going to be right back with my good friend, James Gall, a man who's highly respected in the body of Christ as a teacher, a prophet, an intercessor, who has a long-term stand of being respected for one who fears the Lord and honors the Lord and yet is so open to the different movements and currents of the Spirit. We'll be right back after this break.
Over 40? If you want the second half of your life to be better than the first, read Patricia King's new book, Dream Big, available in-store at xpmedia.com.
I have a very dear friend with me today, James Gall. And not only a friend, he's actually our ministry's apostolic covering and my personal apostolic covering. I respect him. I love him, his wife, his family, his ministry. They're just amazing. And James, it's wonderful to have you with us today because we're going to break open this subject and hopefully impart some faith and some standard. And it's going to be awesome.
And some substance.
Yeah, I just love it. Yeah. We are in a spiritual revolution. Things are shifting. And Jesus himself said that there would be things that we would experience in him and things that would be unfolded to us by the Spirit that he wasn't able to even share with his disciples back then.
Or even all of it wasn't written in just one of the books that were written.
Right.
It said if everything had been contained, the world couldn't contain all the books.
That's
Boy,
right.
would I like to look into some of that.
Yeah, and Paul said, eye has not seen and ear has not heard, neither has it entered into our heart what God has in store for those who love him.
That's right. It'll
be revealed by the Spirit.
Absolutely.
So we're in a day and an hour right now where God is revealing supernatural dimensions of kingdom life to his children so that we'll know what's available to us. And it's nothing new, really, in church history. We're going to find out later. A lot of this has been pretty wild all throughout church history. But it shakes a lot of people in this hour.
Does.
And the word mystic or mystical is sometimes a very scary word to people because, of course, it's been used by the New Age or occultic groups and stuff like that. But it's actually a Christian term.
In church history, it's throughout church history.
Absolutely. Yeah. In fact, the Christian mystics were, around before a lot of the New Age or the Old Age or anything else.
Yeah. The New Age is only old age and new clothing.
There you go. And but the word mystical, and we'll unpack this more later because when we look at ecstasis in the Greek, it refers to a lot of the mystical encounter. But actually what it means is having God encounters. And you're a champion of that one because you've written a book on God encounters and you've had lots of God encounters. But it involves experience, a true living relational experience with God. And here's one definition out of Merriam-Webster's dictionary. It says, involving or having the nature of an individual's direct, subjective communion with God.
Yeah, that's really enormously accurate. Subjective communion with God.
Right.
And that's what
that
we're all...
That means you're having it.
Yeah, that means we're all called into it. That is the right of every believer, is to have communion with God. Now, of course, we're not referring there to like the Eucharist or the Lord's Supper, although that can also be a part of the way of we are having our intimate relationship with the Lord.
Sure.
But to have communion with God, it's enormous.
Yeah, it's intimacy, it's fellowship, it's experience, it's encounter.
It's experiential.
That's what subjective means, doesn't it?
Yes, it is. You see, because so much of churchianity, I'm not going to call it Christianity, so much of churchianity today has become informational.
Mm-hmm.
Information impartation.
Mm-hmm.
Not even impartation. Informational lecturing.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not in the Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jesus, in the books of Acts, in first chapter, it talks about Jesus went about doing and teaching. So Jesus' model was he would heal the sick, then he would teach about it. And we're going to go through an enormous shift in these days. Mm-hmm. We're returning to what would be called apostolic order.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in apostolic order, we're going to experience, then we're going to interpret it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the model of Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
It's the model we're returning to. It's an uncomfortable model because we want to be taught first and then maybe inch out into it.
Mm-hmm.
But today, there's a bunch of brave souls that's raising up because, as Bill Johnson and many have said, and it's really coming true, that Our generation's ceiling is the next generation's floor. Well, there is a whole group of people, I call them like the glory boys and the glory girls, mm-hmm. okay, who have risen up today, all they know.
Right. And a lot of them have had their experience first.
Yeah.
You know, God came and appeared to them or sent angels to them or
That's
whatever.
Right.
So they only know what happened. And of course, then the scripture confirms. The scripture
That's
has
right.
to confirm
the scripture has to
everything.
That's right.
You know, and if anything happens by the hand of God, we will find it in the scripture. Scripture
oh, yeah.
will endorse it. Scripture will confirm it.
We will find the principle mm-hmm. of scripture. But it's just like, but if I get technical with you, it's because you're not going to find a bus in the Bible.
Right.
Okay? And so you're not necessarily going to find the word flying, although you might, mm-hmm. in the Bible. And so the word mystical, is the word mystical in the Bible? Well, there's a lot of inference towards it, but there isn't necessarily a scripture translated from the Hebrew, the Greek, into the English language that uses the word mystic, although there is a massive amount of words that are all about experiencing God, trances and et cetera, and things of this nature. Mm-hmm. And like the word mystic in some way is a mystic is one who reveals mysteries. See, and a mystery is something that's once been hidden, but now becomes revealed. Well, that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit today.
That's Deuteronomy 29:29.
There you got it.
The mysteries belong to God. They are the
right.
secret things.
That's right.
The mysteries belong to God. But the things revealed belong to us.
That's
and
right.
Jesus said that also in the New Testament. He had told a parable about the seed and
yeah.
the sower and the field and that. And his disciples came to him afterwards and said, we don't quite understand this.
Mm.
You know, it's a mystery to us.
That's right.
And he says, to you, it has been given to know the mysteries.
That's right.
But to those outside, it has not been given. Now, who was it that was given the privilege of knowing the mysteries? It was those who drew close to him and
That's
made
right.
inquiry of him.
You know, I want to just say that, you know, one of the keys to growing in spiritual intimacy or the spiritual revolution is, quite frankly, Holy Spirit curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're just not going to stay inside this little, like, what you know. You got to have an adventure streak.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have a hunger, a thirst, a longing. And Jesus, the depth of your hunger is the length of your reach to God.
Mm-hmm.
And God draws near to the hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And so
that's it.
I tell
and
you,
he'll,
it is
And he'll
it.
Fill you if you're hungry. He promises that in the Beatitudes.
It really is.
You know, the more you know him, the hungrier you get.
Yeah, and that's absolutely. And he just keeps feeding and
mm-hmm.
feeding and feeding. But the problem is, then he comes along and he gives you an experience that you haven't had before.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't known before. And he comes and manifests himself in a new way.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're left, you're going, yeah, whoa, what do I do with this?
Right. That's what they said when God sent Jesus the new way. In fact, Jesus said,
right.
I am the way.
That's
but
right.
to everyone at the time, it was the new way.
No,
and it shook them up big time. Like, he even sent a prophet ahead to mm-hmm. prepare the way. But when Jesus came, it was like, whoa. Oh, this is, he's
yeah.
too different.
That's
he's
right.
not what our mind thinks he should look like, or he's not even acting the way that we think he should act, and he's not saying the things that we think he should say, so he can't possibly
Absolutely.
Be truth.
No, I understand that. You know, see, now I was thrown off at one point, well, a few points in time in my journey so far. I've been in full-time vocational ministry for 34 years now, so I've grown up in the faith. So my whole history is a little bit different from some of the watchers, you know, out there. And but the deal is that several years ago, the Lord gave me this dream, and he says to me, so clear in the dream, it's one of those like demarcations. It got me and nailed me. And he said, I'm going to reveal to you the hidden streams of the prophets. Now, I was living in Kansas City at the time. I wake up out of this dream. I'm going, oh, that's simply outrageous. That's so awesome. Thank you, Lord. There's going to be other like hidden prophets who have been waiting in hiding, like one of the well-known prophetic statesmen of this generation. And he had been waiting for years for a certain time to kind of like reemerge. And I'm going, oh, yeah, I met him. I'm going to get to there. Some of the others like that. I had a young man and his wife who were living with us at the time. But they grew up in Southeast Asia, so he hadn't like read all the charismatic books. He'd only read his Bible, and all he had read was old literature, Christian literature, things like the what's called the Desert Fathers and the Christian mystics. And so I thought I had my interpretation of, I'm going to reveal to you the hidden streams of the prophets. So my next generation friend, who was living with my wife and I and our family at the time, turns to me and he goes, that's not what that dream's about at all. He said, now the Lord might be going to introduce you to some new people. He said, but that's not what that is. He said, the Lord's going to reveal himself to you through the hidden streams of the prophetic, of the Desert Fathers and the Christian mystics.
Wow.
And when I heard that, I knew I heard the voice of the Lord. Something within my being resonated, like woke up on the inside, was full alert, and went, I think I'm about to go on another journey.
Come on.
So I went on a journey, Patricia, and now what I'm about to say could make a few people nervous. And it made my wife nervous at the time. I went to a Franciscan monastery, and I went into it for 5 days, into a vow of quietness. I didn't know fully what I was doing, although these ways weren't fully new to me, but I was now learning the language of it. And some of the language was a little archaic, a little old style, something different, and yet something within me, deep calls to deep. So I'm in this Franciscan monastery, and there's this bookstore. And in this bookstore, I came across, books that, from my evangelical, Protestant, and then charismatic tradition, I was underexposed to, is a good way of saying it. And I ran across some of the people like St. Teresa of Avila, St. John of the Cross, St. Bernard of Clairvaux, etc., etc. And I loaded up a bunch of books, and for a year, all I read, other than my Bible, was Orthodox and Catholic literature of the Desert Fathers and the Christian mystics. And as I did that, I got introduced to another spectrum of authentic apostolic faith and Christianity who knew some ways. And there's other Protestant groups who carried on the traditions. The Quakers had revelations of the center of quiet, and they would quake in his presence. That's why they were called Quakers. Or the Shakers, and they would absolutely manifest in shaking because the vibrant presence of God and ecstatic prophecy would get released. So now I'm reading St. Teresa of Avila, and I'm going, oh my gosh, I believe in this stuff. It's right here. And now you're going to take me on a journey, and you're going to introduce not only the writings, you're going to teach me these ways. So one of the keys of moving forward is to posture your heart as a student, not as a know-it-all. And if you think you know it all, you just disqualified yourself from knowing him in another way that you haven't known before. So I just want to make an appeal to some of the people who are out there who think they've been there, done that, and got the 15 t-shirts. There is so much to learn.
It says in the Bible that God's ways are past finding out, and he is so enormous in all of his ways, and we get to explore him for all eternity. So, I mean, I think we've all done this. I mean, I've judged things I didn't understand, you know, many times. But the Lord, you know, disciplined me early, praise God. And we learn through that how big he is. Because he says, how can you judge this? Have you not looked at my bigness? Look at me. And look and search for these things in the scripture, because you will find that these things that are of me, you will find in the scripture. And I would find them in the most obscure places that I'd never seen before, because he hadn't highlighted them yet. But if we're hungry, we will encounter him more and more.
See, that's actually theologically is called your operative theology. So it's like a person who's never experienced healing, and they're a cessationist, so they don't see healing in the Bible. But once they've experienced healing, then they see healing on every page, so it's your operative theology. So some of you that's out there, they maybe haven't experienced God yet in a God encounter through a rapturous experience or through a trance, or mm-hmm. through a vision, or through maybe something that's with an encounter with a great cloud of witnesses mm-hmm. or something. And it's like, it's not in your operative theology.
Mm-hmm.
But once you've had a God encounter,
mm-hmm.
I tell you what, life changes and mm-hmm. you change. I got to just sow this out real fast, is that one time I was caught, because I've been around the block a few times. And so I was in one of the very early meetings. This is at 16 years ago, before Toronto, mm-hmm. the blessing broke out in Toronto. And I'm in a meeting with a mutual friend named Jill Austin. I mean, I call mm-hmm. her the original fire mom.
Yeah,
and I
no,
tell
okay.
you, raw manifested right. presence was just all over the place. I mean, it was just outrageous. And
not common back then either.
And I have my list out, and I'm going, I've been with Mahesh Abda for years, so I've seen healings, and I've seen miracles, and I've seen people slain in the spirit or resting in the power. And I've been with Derek Prince, and I've seen mass deliverance services and demons coming out in mass, and I've seen people rolling around on the floor, and I've seen, and then I'm going, but I don't think I've ever seen some of this before. And then the Holy Spirit speaks to me what's called a word of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to me, if you can't jump in the middle of it, then at least bless it. And if you can't bless it, then at least patiently observe it. And if you can't patiently observe it, then just don't stretch out the rod of your tongue against that which you do not understand. It was the word of wisdom.
Wow. Powerful.
It saved me and even created a desire to, oh, let's just jump in.
You decided that you could jump into the midst of it and then figure it out later.
Yeah, and then you're like, then we're going to just like, because you know what? Fruit takes a while to be grown, and we're supposed mm-hmm. to judge something by the fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can't just judge it automatically, just everything just
no,
right
then. You
have
to wait for it to grow.
You got to watch the fruit over some seasons mm-hmm. of growing. And so sizzle, lean, bacon, like fry, baby, fry. I was like, honey, I never seen exactly happen like that. But boy, did I ever feel empowered after yeah. I jumped in.
And the fruit of Jill Austin's ministry is amazing.
It's amazing.
So many lives have been touched and
that's
transformed
right.
and brought closer to Jesus. And it's a beautiful ministry.
And she's a modern day mystic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she is. And we have many of them in this hour.
That's right.
I just want to share this one thing before we wrap up this session. Is that in the late 1990s, yeah. I had heard about people experiencing some strange things.
Yeah.
And this was just following, you know, the outbreak in Toronto and that.
Right.
But it was about, you know, people entering into heavenly
oh, yeah.
encounters on a daily basis and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so it was new to my ears.
Right.
And because I'd had failures in the past of
yes.
judging things before I understood them, I thought, I don't want to make that same mistake. So the Holy Spirit took me in a 30-day season
wow.
of visitation. But a lot of that visitation was inquiry of him where he responded mm-hmm. to me through the word.
That's right.
And then after I saw it in the word, he
that's
said, now
right.
I want to invite you to
that's
launch
right.
from the word into encounter.
That's right.
So one way that we can experience God is when he comes
right.
and grants us experience when we don't even expect it or understand
yeah.
it. And then we look at the word afterwards.
Absolutely.
But sometimes we can have the revelation of the word and then step into it.
Enter into it.
And step into it by faith
that's
even.
That's right, absolutely.
So I'm excited.
Yeah.
I think, James, that we are living in the most exciting time where we're actually living in heavenly and divine encounters
absolutely.
While we're in the earth. And we're seeing the power of God and the demonstration of the Spirit of God like never before. And for me, I want more of it.
Absolutely.
And I want to bring the whole church into fullness because Colossians says, set your mind.
Mm-hmm.
on the things above where Christ is seated,
right.
not on the things of the earth.
Right.
But we can bring that fullness into
Amen.
The earth and make the world a better place
Amen.
To live.
Like you.
We're so glad that you've joined us for this segment. We'll be right back.
We'll preach good news to the poor. You will bind up the brokenhearted. You will proclaim freedom for the captives. You will release the ones in prison. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord. upon you. He has anointed you. He has anointed you. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord surely is upon you. He has anointed you. He has anointed you.
You were involved in the New Age before you became a Christian, and you were actually referred to as a mystic in that community. And so you've shied away from the supernatural, and you know, you've been a little bit afraid of it, and yet you know that it's in your DNA, but you've run in the other direction and closed a lot of those doors. It's really good to close the doors to the demonic part of it, but then there's a true part. The demonic's the counterfeit, but the truth is the real thing. And you're about ready to step into, in a very safe way, experience an encounter with God that is going to stir up some of the spiritual sensitivity that you were given by God. The stuff that's been kind of, a cap's been put on it, is all of a sudden going to be opened up, and you won't be afraid anymore, but you'll be able to embrace it because it's part of who you are.
God himself, he's knocking literally on your door. And he is simply saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will open the door, I want to come and fellowship with them. You're being given an invitation into deeper communion, an invitation into deeper fellowship. And even, I'm going to give you a hint, look at the clock when this happens and you're wakened by the knock or the arousing out of the slumber. Look at the clock and see what time it is. God's going to use it to speak to you. Through Scripture, I release awakening calls. I release knocks on your doors. I speak God encounters into your world of another divine kind. In Jesus' great name.
The second half of life is truly the better half. In fact, God is waiting for a whole generation of those in the second half of life to rise up and be all that he created them to be. We can do it. Why don't you join me for a Dream Big Reviverance in 2009? I know your life will be transformed. Register now at xpmedia.com.